Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes past 4 p.m. on a Tuesday that feels like a Friday, but it's kind of like a Thursday because tomorrow's kind of like a Friday. So, happy Tuesday. Time for the think tank. Today we have two of our favorites. We have Steve Ellman, who is St. Charles County Executive, Steve Butts, representative from the city. Good to see you, boys. How are you?
Great.
Steve, you're looking especially dashing today.
Well, thank you.
You got an interview going on?
Well, I like to look good on the radio.
I like it.
That's it. I keep my good face for radio.
Yeah.
So
the nice list first. Let's go through the niceties. Guns and Hoses. We had Steve Holly on earlier in the show. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So Guns and Hoses. I mean, I think everybody is pretty familiar with Backstoppers and the great work they do, and with Officer Lee and others being
unfortunately
hurt,
we've seen the need
killed. The need is probably greater than ever. Great night of boxing so that the cops can, you know, take on their brother firemen. I've been going for many, many years. I was just giving Alex Rich a couple of tickets to join me down on the floor tomorrow night.
Nice. Very nice.
At Enterprise.
Alex Rich is good at that.
He is good.
He's good at getting tickets. Yes, he is. I've noticed this. And your brother is opening a movie?
Yeah, Norbert's have a lot of good projects. He'll be in St. Louis at this Strawberry, Blueberry, something, little music venue on Boyle Avenue. But his new movie, it's a Dylan movie, and it is about Dylan, and he's excited about it. So I know Timothy Chalamet.
It's going to be a big one.
Playing Dylan.
Yeah.
And he's very impressed. The kid taught himself to play guitar and actually does the singing. And my brother plays the part of his mentor in the movie, so he's high on this movie. It opens in theaters Christmas Day.
Now, I think, Andrew, were you the one telling me that Norbert originated the Wicked role?
Yeah, Fierro. Correct. So if you can't wait to take the granddaughters to go see Wicked, they're all excited about it. But if you listen to the original Broadway soundtrack, that's my brother Norbert.
That's
originated
super cool.
The part of Fierro.
Really cool. And Steve, Christmas down on Main Street?
Yeah. The representative was telling me he's been a regular for years. I feel guilty not being there as often as he has. But it is a special situation, and it's kind of what makes the city of St. Charles unique. We got a lot of great places in this region, but between the history and the traditions and just the feeling and the holiday feeling down there, it's a great place to be.
It's tremendous.
December 25th.
One of the best things I did as a dad, probably at least 5, maybe as many as 10 years in a row. Best Transportation was a client of mine, and I would sweet talk them like Alex Rich did you, and they would give me a limo bus, and I would load Phoebe, 5 years old, up to probably 15 years old, and all of her little buddies, and we would go down to Main Street, and it was just the best time. It's like so family-friendly to a 5-year-old. It's pure magic. We'd get pizzas. It was just tremendous.
Actual chestnuts roasting on
actual
open fires,
chestnuts.
Santas from around the world, all the awesome shops, and I didn't know that there was a regeneration of that area.
Oh yeah,
that
when I was a kid,
executive was telling me.
I won't tell you how long ago that's been, but there were people in St. Charles who looked at St. Louis when St. Louis was tearing down neighborhoods in Mill Creek and whatever. The South Main in St. Charles was our biggest ghetto. I mean, it was terrible housing, and there's a lot of people wanted to just tear it down and build something new. And thank goodness they did.
And they did. Yeah.
1965, I think they created a historic district, and the rest has been history.
Yeah, it is really cool down there. Some of my favorite places are down in Main Street. You had a great question. If you were Donald Trump, what would you literally do on day one? What is the most important thing? What do your people want you to do? And what can the rest of the people who didn't vote for you live with? So you got some ideas?
Well, first thing that I would do if I was president on the first day was appoint about 5,000 new auditors in the federal government and send them out to all the cities and counties and political subdivisions that got this ARPA money, and let's make sure it was given out correctly. And if there's corruption there, let's find out about it and punish the people responsible.
Yes. And we all need to know about the people getting punished, because I was saying to these guys that I don't really feel stupid for not doing it, because it would be wrong and you could get caught and go to prison. But I know a lot of people who did it, you know, like set up an LLC, got $500,000, $1 million and just pocketed it, or bought a Lamborghini. And normies start to feel dumb when criminals don't get caught.
Yeah, you know, there has to be repercussions. I know we feel that on many levels of society today, but in particular, I mean, you know, the ARPA money in St. Louis, which is critical if we're going to really have any chance at a transformative change, and you hate to overuse that word, but it is that kind of thing. And I know we've got our own state auditor looking into how the grants at SLDC were awarded. And, you know, the $12,500 kind of given after the fact to everybody that wasn't awarded a grant, which begs Dave's question. Mm-hmm. Hey, I wish I would have applied. Yeah. And I would have gotten $12,500 out of the deal. I just think there comes a point when you have to say, you know, maybe this city with the current team and leadership, you know, they're just overmatched for the job, and we need other professional advice. And I think if you just look around, you know there's enough need and there's enough expertise in the grant awarding mm-hmm. world mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm sure the Taylor Foundation could help and say, how do we really find out where is the need where to have the greatest impact?
Well, my federal auditors are going to be even less effective than the state auditor, because it takes time. So what are we going to find out, you know, what really went on here 2-3 years from now? There's got to be a better way to deal with this immediately and make sure it doesn't continue to happen.
But real forensic audits take time.
I know.
And I just know at the state auditor level that, you know, they have a team of qualified CPAs, forensic accountants, because, mm-hmm. you know, some smart people and not smart people, there's either malfeasance, incompetence, graft, corruption, and sometimes just mistakes.
Yeah.
All need to get found out.
Given that Kim Gardner is gone and Gabe Gore is in there and crime is down in the city, are we feeling better about the city? Because when I interviewed Kara Spencer lately, I said, I see the numbers and I know intellectually it seems like I should feel better about the city. But being in the city every single day, and maybe I'm in the wrong part of the city, I don't feel it. I don't feel any safer. I don't feel any resurgence. What about you guys?
I don't think anybody feels safer after the last 2 or 3 days. And it's a shame. You got to have tragedies that really bring some of this to life. But I mean, we got two interesting stories about real people. Crime is down in some ways. The overall number of crimes, overall number of murders, but when you realize that there's fewer people every year in the city, I'm not sure that the actual murders or crimes per 100,000 is that much different. Mm-hmm. It's not getting worse. I guess that's the best you can say. But I don't know. There're 300 police officers short, and the ones that are still there can do the best job they could possibly do and still not cover this when you're that.
It's like fielding a football team with 8 guys.
Yeah, we are at that state. You know, so I've lived my entire life in the city of St. Louis. And do I feel safe? You know, honestly, I do. I'm here all the time. But a couple things that's just are so obvious to me, I'll say the first one is, so I work just in Afton. It's not like I'm way out of the city anywhere. But when I'm just on McKenzie or even Gravois, any of those areas, I'll see a county cop sitting there, driving by, I mean, 3 or 4 times a week. And Dave and I, we're downtown. Dave, you're here every day. Mm-hmm. I'm here at least one day a week. Even in my neighborhood or downtown, you do not say that you actually see a cop.
It's rare.
It is rare.
How about on Loughborough?
At Loughborough,
I would have thought that would have been a safe neighborhood.
It So the it is a safe neighborhood. Uh-huh. It is a safe neighborhood. Now, that shooting, and that is so tragic, I think it tugs at everybody's cord because it's this kid who's doing the right thing in life. Colin Brown, I know his name. It reminds you of Jhené Edmondson. I mean, it's so darn similar, just high school-aged athletes.
Yeah.
The tragedy is almost more than you can take, and I hope that the young man recovers. Obviously, our prayers are with him.
And don't you feel like the truth of it is, I know Chief Tracy's trying to put the best face on it he can here on KMOX yesterday with Megan Lynch, and you don't go on the air and say, we'll never find that guy. We'll never find that guy.
Yeah, but we're probably not going to find that guy because, the way I think it's coming out, this was a shootout. Southbound 55, and this is a stray bullet that just hits this kid as he's northbound going home with his dad. It's when things like that happen, because most of the dangerous things that happen in the city and probably in the region, you know your attacker. It's sort of, I don't want to say anybody has it coming, but you're in the wrong place.
Doing the wrong thing.
With the wrong people doing the wrong thing.
Steve, what do you think about the highway patrol coming into the city?
Yeah, I'm huge on that. And twice I've met with the highway patrol. I personally handed a letter to Parson. We are certainly entitled. I drive Highway 70 through St. Charles County to get to Jeff City all the time. I see the highway patrol, but they're not on the interstates in the city of St. Louis. And doggone it, we're entitled to at least our 5% of the highway patrol. And it's not just our population who lives here. Think of all the people that come into the city for a busy sports weekend or a big concert weekend or to work downtown. Why we don't have it, I'm sure it's a historical thing in the 70s.
You know why we don't have it? 1927, when they created the Highway Patrol, the people in the city of St. Louis, and probably in the city of St. Charles for that matter, they were afraid the Highway Patrol was going to come in and enforce prohibition.
Oh, wow.
So they wrote the original statute that the Highway Patrol could not go into the city limits of a city. And they've since changed that, but the tradition remained. And I think Greitens sent some people in. They wrote a bunch of tickets, but Kim Gardner wouldn't process any of them, so they left.
Yeah, we'll throw that Kim Gardner out. And I'll say about 3 years ago, there was a Captain Burkhart in charge of Troop C in Weldon Springs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I met with him. I wrote him a letter. He said, come in and talk. And he was sending patrols. I said, just do it between downtown and the airport. Because if you drive to the airport, I generally go about once a week. I mean, forget the guns, which are bad enough, but the number of people at 8 in the morning, noon, 7, midnight, doesn't matter, doing 90 miles an hour is insane on that stretch. That has to be the most dangerous stretch of interstate between downtown St. Louis and the airport that exists in this state. I mean,
having driven 70 a lot, you feel like we could catch most of the bad guys there. You see these blacked out cars with no license plates or expired 3 years ago and going 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, they're all doing 90, weaving in and out of traffic. They're probably criminals.
You only see them if you look quick, because, boy, they are by you going 30 miles faster than you are.
I know.
Yeah, you think you could find them from overhead or
could narrow it down. Yeah.
But again, you can't do it when you're 300 cops short.
No, but I want the Highway Patrol to do that.
Yeah.
And we have to figure out a way that the St. Louis Police Department, and I know Chief Tracy, I'm a big fan. The guy's done a wonderful job. He's only been here just over a year. Improving the morale in the department is a big thing. And we can always talk about how many were short. I also want to brag on the guys that stay, the men and women that do the job day in, day out. That's part of it. And they need to have a high level of morale.
Well, we're going to have to share them with you, and I'm more than happy to do that. But your people right now, they're experiencing taxation without representation. You're paying your state taxpayers are paying for the Highway Patrol, but they're not getting the benefit.
Oh, that's why I make that point.
I've never heard this issue. Why is it not a bigger deal?
Well, I don't know. I think
tradition.
When I was in Jeff City, the sheriffs around the country, the state, didn't like the idea of giving extra powers to the Highway Patrol because they didn't want anybody coming into their little
fiefdom
world.
Yeah.
Fiefdom. I don't know if that was the same thing with the police in the city, but I would think it goes back to some kind of turf battle and just not wanting to have somebody else looking at what you're doing.
Yeah. It probably is, but we need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we need to
we're past that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX Think Tank. We have Steve Ellman and Steve Butts. So let's do one more question. Kara Spencer wants to take the money, as I understand it, and invest it. Other people in the city want to take the money and spend it and give it out. Like, we're going to take all this Rams money, $300-something million. We're going to hand it out and we're going to do as much good as we possibly can. What do you think is the wisest choice if you have a dog in the fight?
Yeah, I guess I kind of do have a dog in the fight since I live here. I really think that we need to spend the money in the next just couple of years. And the reason why I say that is this trying to say I want to put it, you know, in some type of investment or savings account and just live off the interest so we've got money for the next 20, 30 years for programs. I don't know that we're going to have a city as we know it 20 or 30 years from now. I think that with the right leadership, a lot of corporate input downtown, I just look at a city I go to pretty often is Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were about where we were. They're about the same size in Old River Town. They got the business community, the public sector, the mayor, everybody. And they said, we're going to fix downtown Cincinnati. And I think that emphasis has to happen in St. Louis. And just between the water mains, the paving, and a bunch of, you know, other maintenance that just has to happen, we need to spend that money now so that we could have a chance at a brighter tomorrow.
I don't disagree. I mean, I'm not a big fan of programs. I will plead ignorance on this. I'm sure there are programs that are worthy and you put some money into it and it bears fruit. But I just, you never hear about it. I never hear the success stories. I know what it would be like if Olive were blacktopped. I know it would be like if there was a cop on the corner. But the programs are just sort of leave me cold.
You know, we have everybody in the state has a dog in this fight. And I already mentioned the fact that, you know, your folks in the city pay state taxes but don't have the benefit of the highway patrol. Well, you know who paid for half of the dome was the state taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And the dome is the big loser when the NFL left. Okay, half of the dome was paid for by all of us as state taxpayers, and the other half was paid by visitors and tourists who stayed in our hotels and motels. So I just hope that whatever is done with this money, they do something that will benefit not just a single neighborhood or not even just the city, but would benefit all the state taxpayers who come to the city, all those visitors who come in. And yeah, the money's going to be spent probably in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. If they want to fix up downtown to make it more attractive to those tourists and to guarantee the future of the dome, I think that should get first priority.
Excellent. Thank you, boys. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.